This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks for tuning in your dial right here to Tech Vibe Radio this Friday night. You made a wise choice hanging out with Tech Vibe because we are bringing you the best that has to happen in Pittsburgh's technology sector. And tonight I got a special co-host with me filling in for Audrey Russo. She is down with the laryngitis. Her radio voice is no good. Next best. Got Craig Waller here from the Web Law Firm. Craig, thanks for hanging out with me tonight.
You bet, Jonathan. Glad to be here.
It's good stuff. So real fast, Craig, just so our listeners can know a bit about you, who is Craig Waller? What is the Web Law Firm? And then we're going to jump into the X-Tuple Roadshow. We got someone on the line with us calling in to tell us about this really cool roadshow coming. And we have someone in studio with us as well, too.
Very cool. Thanks, Jonathan. Had a hard time to find it myself, but I'll do my best.
Absolutely.
Patent attorney, intellectual property attorney, co-founder, connector, all kinds of fun stuff.
Absolutely.
That's why we enjoy hanging out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the web has been around since like 1840 something, right?
It's been around, I think Bill Flanagan said it might be the oldest three companies in Pittsburgh still going.
But, exactly.
About 50 intellectual property professionals right here at the Point, and we help clients all over the world get stuff done in intellectual property law.
Fantastic, man. And like once again, thank you for hanging out with
us.
I need you here to help guide the show through this next hour of all the great stuff happening here in Pittsburgh. And we are kicking it off because November the 10th, 2017, just a few weeks away, less than a few weeks away, we have the X-Tuple Roadshow 2017 coming to town. In fact, it's going to be at the Pittsburgh Technology Council's offices. And with us today, we have some guests. We have calling in. We have Wally here. Wally, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from sunny San Diego.
Sunny San Diego. Fantastic. And what do you do with X-Tuple?
I am the vice president of sales with X-Tuple, so I'm actually on the road a lot.
Excellent. Very, very good. And, of course, here we have Rebecca Shapiro. Rebecca, thanks for hanging out with us in the studio to talk about this roadshow.
Thanks. You're welcome.
And what do you do with X-Tuple?
I'm a senior consultant with X-Tuple. I do implementations and help our customers get the system up and running.
So what does X-Tuple actually do? Let's start with that real quick.
Oh, X-Tuple is it's an ERP system, which is an enterprise resource planning system that has multiple components that plug into it, one of which is our X-Tuple Commerce package, which gives direct online access to the customers from X-Tuple.
Cool.
So they're very integrated, tightly integrated. It's a wonderful solution.
If you got a business, you need to manage it. This is some software to help you do that. So.
It does. It gets you everywhere.
Very, very cool. So let's talk about this roadshow. Craig is dying to know about this roadshow.
Yeah, it sounds pretty interesting. It's coming up here in about a month.
Mm-hmm. November 10th.
Yeah, less than that. We are like on the road to it.
Wow.
Yeah. So what is this roadshow? What is going on with this? Tell us about it.
Well,
this will be like can I answer that one?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Because I've done a few of them. This will be our fourth roadshow that we've done.
Uh-huh.
We did one in Southern California earlier this year, one in Houston before the big rain.
Okay.
And we did one just recently in Chicago. So what we're trying to do is kind of go on the road and visit with a bunch of our customers. We go into these cities where we've got existing customers, and we're just kind of updating them on what's going on with the product, the e-commerce product. Helping our customers sell their stuff or communicate with their customers on the web is kind of the biggest thing that we have going on right now. Lots of our customers have been using our software to run their business for 15, 20 years and haven't used this kind of technology before. So we're trying to explain that kind of stuff to them and tell them the latest, what's going on. We also typically will have some prospective customers come in and just people who are kind of interested in what we're doing and hearing about what we're doing for our customers. So that's the idea. And this time we're doing it with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. So it's kind of neat that we've got kind of a built-in audience apart from our customer base as well that we're excited to talk to.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Curious about the customers. What would be a great person to attend this? I'm thinking about some people I know and curious about who would be a really good target audience.
Our customers tend to be manufacturers and distributors, so small, medium-sized businesses that are kind of inventory-centric. So you're buying and reselling something, you're making products, you're selling those to our customers, sell to other manufacturers, our customers sell to end users, a couple of regional customers that we have. One's a really big sign manufacturer, so if you go to a sheet, you know, that all of the signage is for them. Probably all of the banks around, they make all of the signage for those kinds of people. We've got customers that do all kinds of different manufactured and distributed products. A company locally that does heating pumps for hot tubs and swimming pools. So we just lots of different kinds of businesses, but really anybody that deals with inventory on a regular basis and has to deal with that, you know, the keeping track of the inventory, the accounting of it, the sales orders and dealing with vendors and quotes to customers, all that kind of stuff, and having to deal with that on the web as well. Those are all kinds of prospective customers of ours. But typically, like I said, small, medium-sized companies, not the biggest companies in the world. They tend to be, you know, Your company that you see as you're driving down the highway, you know, that kind of company, smaller size company. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So yeah. If people want to learn more about this, I think if you go to Xtuple, and that's xtuple.com/roadshow-Pittsburgh, you can go there to register. I'm going to keep reminding people that because in order to go, we want you to register ahead of time, because I think this is a really important event, a great way to really learn about the technology, really, and meet the people behind it, which I think is just so important. And so to bring this to Pittsburgh is a really big deal for you guys. Tell us a little bit more about that, Rebecca.
Well, Rebecca's been involved with the Pittsburgh Technology Council, so I think she should talk a little bit about that.
Right.
She's very instrumental in doing that.
Right. So I've been in technology in Pittsburgh all my career, and the Technology Council has been a resource for me in many different ways. And so when I joined Xtuple, I reached out to them and said, hey, maybe we should consider joining this council because they offer a lot of really great stuff for the community.
Keep talking.
And here
talking.
We are. And here we are really taking advantage of everything that is offered to the membership. And we're excited. I'd love to get some new local customers that I can easily get to their sites. And right now, a lot of my contacts are in other cities. It's not as easy to be personal. So that's what I think it would be great. And we're a booming region when it comes to industry.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, do not underestimate free parking. I'm just saying that right now. You come down to the Pittsburgh Technology Council, you can roll right up. There's no worries. We're accessible. We're right off of the Parkway East. There's no worries. I want to remind everybody, please go to xtuple.com. That's just xtuple.com/roadshow-Pittsburgh. It's happening November the 10th. Really cool event. Check it out, sign up for it, have a good time, and learn all about it. So thanks, guys, for stopping by the show and making us aware and helping us be a part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Fantastic stuff. Just reminding
thanks
everybody.
Thanks for having us on. We look forward to meeting more Pittsburgh people.
That's what it's all
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We hope to have a nice crowd there
parking.
For you.
Absolutely.
With free parking. With free parking. That is the name of the game. And thanks for calling in from San Diego there. While I do appreciate it. Just reminding everybody, we got Thank Craig you. Waller with us here tonight, co-hosting with me in place of Audrey Russo, as her voice is now on the mend. And we've come back from break, Craig. We're going to talk a little bit about your trip to Silicon Valley you just came off of. There's some fun things that you were a part of that I'm really excited to talk to you about. You're going to bring back some knowledge from the SV to PGH.
Absolutely.
I love it, man. Right. I think it's fantastic. I appreciate your insight. In today's show, we have Redmorph stopping by today. Very exciting company. They have some big news they're going to be announcing about their product reaching lots of people in India, which I think is really fantastic. And Highmark is stopping by today. It's all about quality of life when it comes to the technology ecosystem here, and they got some of the best benefits going. And talk about Dr. Match. So this is Jonathan Kirsting.
Craig Waller.
And I'm from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. He's from the Web Law Firm. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. And we're right back after this quick break. We get to have way too much fun hanging out on a Friday night doing Tech Vibe Radio. I get to hang out with guys like Craig Waller here from the Web Law Firm.
A lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for hanging out with us. And Audrey appreciates it, too, while her voice is on the mend.
On the mend.
Yeah. And Craig, real fast, the Web Law Firm, this is one of these places. I mean, when it comes to IP, when it comes to intellectual property, it's the only place to go.
There are other places, but I appreciate
it. No, it's the only place to go because you guys have been doing this since like the Lincoln administration.
Yeah, yeah. We do have a large practice that helps clients all over the world with intellectual property problems.
Yeah.
There's a good critical mass here in Pittsburgh, over 50 folks working on this stuff here
these
together.
These are like scientists and technologists blended into
PhDs,
attorneys. It's just, you got the smartest men and women working there. And that's why if I had a tech company and I had some crazy IP and I'm going to the web because these guys know what's up. I'm just throwing it out there. And as such, you are out and about meeting with some of the coolest people and you know no bounds. You fly across the country to do this.
Right.
And you just came back from a pretty long trip out to the Silicon Valley.
Yes.
Hanging out with some pretty cool folks.
Really cool.
Some cool conferences. And I'm like, Craig, we got to download this a little bit.
Yeah.
And spread some of this knowledge to our listeners to kind of get some ideas as to what's happening out there and what's happening in Pittsburgh and all that kind of fun stuff. So I'm glad you're able to kind of nerd out with me on this a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Thanks for having me. It's exciting to see what's going on here, and it's really cool to see what's going on out there.
Right, and connect
more folks between here and there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's good.
It's the connections that happen that make things work.
Yeah.
So you were out in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
What were you doing out there? What was, give us the itinerary.
Yeah, yeah. I got to meet with a couple of clients. We recently have been acquiring some larger accounts out there.
Nice.
High rate markets, right? We do good work for a good price. They're happy to work with us.
And that's saying something that you got someone out in the coast saying, I'm trusting this to a Pittsburgh-based firm, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting. We talk sometimes about losing good talent, and it's true from Pittsburgh. And some of the best talent will end up out there.
Yeah.
So it's nice because they have a familiarity with the city.
Mm-hmm.
They know that we do good work back here. And they know that, you know, it's not going to cost them an arm and a leg to get that work done.
So. Just half an arm.
Maybe just half an arm.
A couple toes.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
I know.
So it was great. I got to meet with folks from some big, big name companies that you've heard of here. And, you know, networking our clients, folks like Facebook and Uber and X and MasterCard and Visa and all kinds of folks. It was just great.
A couple small names there.
A couple small names. Leaders in those companies. Yeah, it was fun. It was great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So earlier this morning, we were hanging out before coming into the show. I keep running into you all today. Like,
yeah.
Come on, what is this? Jeez, it's like Craig Waller Day here. And you were talking about the, you actually were in the same room and interfacing with the CEO of Reddit.
Yeah, I actually got to hang out with them a little bit.
Okay, so tell us about this. I mean, Reddit, that's
really
great
stuff. There's a great organization that is just building a big, huge global brand called Startup Grind.
Startup Grind.
Derek runs Startup Grind. Great guy. He's out there in Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has 300-400 chapters around the world.
Is Pittsburgh getting a Startup Grind chapter?
They might. I've talked to him about it, see if it's going to happen or not.
I could see you trying to make that happen. Just saying, man.
Because I don't have enough on my plate. Right?
Exactly. You don't have enough to do. Like, look, honey, I go another hour tonight.
I'll do a Startup Grind.
Exactly.
But really cool. He brought in the CEO of Reddit, who literally started that publishing company basically out of his dorm room with his in college. It's pretty cool.
I mean talk about one of your top news sources. Talk about the eyeballs they get, it's an amazing thing. So what was he talking about? What was he spreading upon?
It's interesting. He's talking about the entrepreneur's journey in a lot of ways, getting it going, co-founder, everything's great, leaving the company, it going downhill a bit, then we're bringing him back to run the company, and the things he's learned in between. And the amazing thing was, Jonathan, I think we have a lot to learn here in Pittsburgh. Not ubiquitously, but there's still a lot to learn.
Of course.
When he came back to the company, he said, look, the way I'm going to change this company is through culture.
Interesting.
It's awesome.
Interesting.
He laid out his five main points of culture.
A couple of these,
One of the ones that was poignant was everyone does the dishes.
Exactly. Everyone's out there emptying the dishwasher.
That was one of his top five.
That makes sense.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So he talked about culture a good bit and how he had felt that is how one of the key points to bring that organization, turning back around, getting it back into a leader position on the web, the front page of the web.
The front page of the web. Absolutely. No, I love it. That's exactly what it is.
And it was actually at Draper University where we took the Tech Council trip.
I was going to say, because the Tech Council, we like going to the Valley when we can because we like seeing what's going on in these other areas of innovation, bringing some of that back to Pittsburgh, plus spreading the Pittsburgh brand out there as well, too, because we got a lot of secret sauce they don't have out there.
Absolutely.
Well, and we actually once did a culture tour about 2 years ago out in Silicon Valley. We toured Facebook.
Yep.
And some, I believe, Google and some other places as well to kind of learn, like, well, how are they charging up their employees? How are they making innovation happen?
Yeah.
And so I love hearing that from a guy like at Reddit saying, no, we all do the dishes here. Like yeah. It's not above anyone's pay grade to get into the trenches
yep.
and take care of business.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
It's very cool. So that was a neat event. I got to attend the Intellectual Property Owners Association event in San Francisco, their annual conference.
Yeah.
Thought leaders from all across the industry. Heard from like the head of Cargill, the head of Corning, the head of MasterCard, talk about what they do with intellectual property, how and why.
What are some of the big trends with IP these days? What was really kind of grinding them up that they're there to really get people
talking about? There's a good bit of talk around intellectual property in regards to management of it and acquiring it, what to do with it, and how to monetize and understand what you have. It's always been an issue
Definitely.
For companies, but the market's doing pretty well. People are acquiring stuff, and it seems as though as the market does better, one of the big issues is how do they onboard more intellectual property services into the companies themselves? They're hiring more people in-house these days.
So. Is that what it comes down
yeah,
to?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and as always, software is always a big issue. What's protected, what's not, what's the latest Supreme Court decisions, stuff like that. So it was a good conference. Met a lot of good people. It's very international. People come in from all over the world to that conference. Hung out with a guy from South Africa, Cape Town for a while, New Zealand, Australia.
That's around the world right
yeah,
there,
China,
man.
Guys yeah, guys from China. It was really, really neat. Really neat conference. And then,
and of course, people from Pittsburgh there being you, which I love.
Absolutely. Representing Pittsburgh. Absolutely.
For sure.
And then, went down to a big conference in San Jose after that. The following week in MedTech.
Are you sure you're not a California resident by now?
Weather's not bad. Cost of living is a little crazy.
That is. So tell me about this conference then.
MedTech yeah. is like the biggest, I think, medical device and industry trade show. Huge. And we had some of our prominent clients with big trade shoe booths there.
Okay.
It was kind of fun to walk around and be like, oh, they're a client. Oh, we worked with them.
Of course.
The really cool thing was seeing Smith & Nephew in an ad about Blue Belt Technologies.
Hey, one of Pittsburgh's best
right.
success stories.
That's right. That's
for
right.
sure, man.
Yeah,
very so proud
really
of those
cool.
guys.
And Joe Montana gave the keynote talk. He is I think one of the top celebrity/sports VCs in tech.
Wait, he's an investor.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Yes.
Interesting. So I love hearing that.
If you heard some of the names he read off of tech investments he's made,
okay.
Pinterest, blah, 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 he's done very well for himself. And he's aggregated a lot of that money into a fund.
Into a fund.
Yeah.
And he was talking about that. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Got about a minute or so left. Just real fast about the web real quick. People want to link up with the web with you because what I love about you guys is this, is that you're good people there. Like, don't be afraid to call up.
Yeah.
No matter what kind of problem it is when it comes to like IP or whatever it is, just you always take a call with somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we keep pretty busy, which is good, but we're always available and open to talk and help
educate some people over to you a couple times and you're like, no, I'll talk to you. And you always have.
Always make time.
I love that. I love that.
Even if we can't handle it, we'll refer it out. Yeah.
Very much so. Very,
somebody, cool. Someone else will handle it well.
Yeah. Exactly. So you're in good hands at the web law firm. I'm glad you're out there in sunny California. doing that. It brings back good insight for us to let us think about what our next steps are.
Yeah.
As far as I think that's just super important. And Craig, you're hanging out with us. We got more Tech Vibe coming. Like I said, you're filling in for Audrey tonight.
Yep.
So pumped that you're doing that. We're talking to Red Morph coming up next. And our friends from Highmark are stopping by to talk about this new doctor match stuff, which I'm excited to learn more about when you can use technology to link people up with doctors.
Absolutely.
I think it's good stuff all the way around. Once again, the web law firm, your site?
Weblaw.com, 2 B's.
I love it, man. And learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Even follow us on the old Twitter at pghtech. This is Jonathan Kirstening.
Craig Waller.
We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back. You are spending your Friday night with Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirstening, and I'm hanging out with
Craig Waller.
Craig, you're from the Web Law Firm. Thanks for spending time with us tonight because Audrey's voice is on the mend.
Glad to be able to contribute.
Dude, serious laryngitis. And Audrey's like, get Craig in here immediately to fill for my spot. I said, yes.
No problem. Love it. Love
exactly.
it. So yeah. If she ever needs help running the tech council, let me know.
We will. We'll bring you in. Yeah. We'll do it. We got some great guests in front of us, Craig. Really, really cool people. So pumped to have them in. They're no strangers to Tech Vibe Radio. I like bringing guests back to talk about the progress that they're making. And Red Morph is making such progress. So, from Red Morph, we got two folks. Introduce yourselves.
I'm David Palmer. I head up marketing at Red Morph. Patrick Hishon, and I do, I'm VP of technology.
VP of technology. Whoa, whoa, back up. So you're the tech, you're the tech dude in the house.
Apparently.
So, you're the one making this stuff work, which I love it. And we got, and David, you are like, I mean, you're one of Pittsburgh's top marketing guys. Like when it comes to technology marketing, like your face pops right up in my head. It's like, boom. And when I saw you went to Redmorph, I was like, whoa. Things are going to really, really start getting traction now. I'm just saying.
Let me catch that on a tape and send it to my boss.
I will. Exactly. I can sell that to you for like $5. Okay.
Yeah. When's the payoff on this?
Exactly. So quickly tell our listeners about just Redmorph, what it's all about, and then we're going to dive into the exciting news and how the technology works and all that kind of good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Redmorph is dedicated to providing you online security and privacy. And we have the industry-leading technology that blocks all the bad stuff that's out there every time you visit a site or an app, all the stuff that's trying to grab your personal information, track you, and even infect you with things like malware and Trojans.
And there's so much of that out there. It's just, and it's not lessening.
It's getting worse.
And that's why Craig knows that Redmorph is such a cool product, because tell us a little bit more, just the dangers that are out there.
Sure, yeah. Well, first of all, you know, here's the thing is privacy is just foundational to the human experience, right? I mean, privacy is important in our relationships because we have discretion of what we say and who we say and who we say that to and when.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't exist on the internet.
Yeah. And that's the scary part. Yeah.
That is. And so this sort of this core kind of fundamental human right doesn't exist on the internet, and it causes it affects things like security and privacy. It affects innovation because are you going to be sharing your brightest thoughts and ideas if you know the whole world is listening in? And so I think that's as a tech foundation here, we should be concerned with privacy because we want to feel free to express ourselves and create and ideate and also feel safe in doing so. So it doesn't exist on the internet, and the reason why is because every time you connect to an app or site, not only are you connecting with them, but you are connecting with thousands of their partners.
Yeah.
And each of these partners are provided an open portal to your device, to your information, and are connecting to that. And not only that, those partners, again, it's kind of a multiplier effect, have other partners. And so there's this cascading multiplier of partners to the point where every time you're on a site or use an app, you're connecting with people you have no idea what they're gathering and why they're gathering from. And so it presents a lot of dangers.
Without a doubt. So you got tech guys like Patrick over here that actually make the technology work. So how long have you been with Redmorph for?
Pretty much since it started.
Since it started. Okay. Yeah. So you've been at the foundations of developing this technology then, right?
Definitely. But we have a very strong team that,
of course.
Is not just me.
Of course, no. Yeah. You got some smart men and women working with you there. Absolutely.
Yeah. Just to add on to what David said, it's just the sheer scale of what's happening right now is even surprising to a lot of people working in
the know.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. It seems like it's become more and more of a problem. I mean, just today we heard from the CEO of Oracle. He said his customers' number one top of their mind is security, and you wonder sometimes, we don't do a good job ourselves, but even large companies have a problem with it. And so it seems like it's a nice front door product for people, because if Equifax is having a hard time keeping stuff secure,
it seems like they are these days, aren't they?
How about 100 people who all have information they shouldn't?
Exactly.
That you kind of volunteered.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, Craig, because it's not just a personal issue. It's a corporate issue, because think about this. There is a revolution, of course, with enterprise mobility, right? Every company is conducting transactions throughout their value chain on mobile devices. And further, with BYOD, everybody's bringing in their own device.
Exactly.
And so it's an open vector of vulnerability for corporations. And that's really where we specialize. Our product is essentially an intelligent firewall, a firewall in the sense that it protects the entire device. The algorithms are intelligent, and they are able to detect friend or foe connections. And we believe we have the market-leading technology in that regard.
So how is this installed on someone's computer or smartphone? And then let's talk about how this is being deployed in India because of so many smartphone transactions that that economy runs on, which I think is just so interesting. That's why when you came in a couple of weeks ago, I was like, oh, you got to stop by the show and tell us about this new twist
of Redmore. Yes, exciting. I'll let Patrick answer about how you install it and the options.
Okay.
Yeah, so right now we have an app for Android, iOS.
Right.
And you can just download that from the App Store. And then on the browser, we have all our browser extensions that's available for Firefox, Chrome, and Safari.
Okay, all the major platforms there are supported as far as that goes. And so if you give us just a little bit about the experience, and then we can jump into what's kind of happening in India. So when I put this on my phone, I download the app, it's on my phone, and then I can kind of control then how the phone or how my web browsing experience is going to be impacted?
Yeah, we aim for it to kind of work in the background so you don't have to fiddle with it as much as you need to. But if you are an advanced user, you can go in and
specifically tweak
every setting for every app. So at the start, when you download it, it will scan all your apps and make sure, you know, they'll give you a kind of risk rating of every app.
So you can see what's going on then immediately. Then you can be like, I got to get half these apps off my phone.
It'll give you kind of a rundown of all the apps on your phone and give some recommendations on what to do with those apps. And then if you want to set the recommendations we give you, you go ahead. And if you want to customize it more, you can go into the settings and do that.
And obviously with smartphones, I mean, that's the way everybody's connecting these days when it comes down to it, which leads us to India, right?
Sure.
Right. Tell us about that, David.
Yeah, well, so India is a fascinating market, and there's some unique things happening there. Well, first of all, it's the number two smartphone market in the world after China.
Wow.
And also in India, there's what I call kind of this perfect storm converging of different influences that speak to the need of privacy and security. One is that almost everybody conducts transactions using something called e-wallets, right? We have a little bit of that in this country, but nowhere near like in India. I mean, everybody does their business, even going to the grocery store and buying eggs and, you know, chickens or whatever it is, it's done on a smartphone. And and they use these e-wallet apps. And also recently they're going through a demonetization policy. They're taking cash, hard currency out of the economy.
Yeah.
And so this is all, of course, pushing everybody towards smartphone transactions. Well, of course, they're concerned about the safety of their accounts there and the transactions. And there's lots of instances where malware and malicious actors are going in and grabbing this account information and using it for, kind of basically robbery of their accounts. Absolutely. And then the third factor is there's a much more heightened concern in India around security and privacy because there's been so many instances of violations of this. And recently the Indian government came out and said, you should have a right to privacy online, the same that you do in your personal lives. And so all these things has been really to heighten awareness. People are really craving for a cybersecurity app like Redmorph. And so we've decided to launch in that country. It's a huge market. And we're going to be launching there actually next week with the number two largest bank. And what we're doing is they are offering our application to their employees and to their customers as a bonus. And because, of course, banking, they want to communicate the message of privacy and security. And they tested Redmorph and they like it. And so we're launching through that channel, through partnerships. And we're going to be repeating that in a couple different places, including with the leading online stores for buying cell phones, like an Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They have something there called Flipkart, and we're talking to them about basically packaging the Redmorph app with the sale of a smartphone online.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's two great channels for us right now that we're absolutely jumping on.
Very exciting. I'm reminding our listeners, we're talking to Redmorph here, and it's all about this really cool app that keeps your smartphone or your laptop, your computer, very, very safe when you're out there surfing. Got Craig Waller with me here from the Web Law Firm, helping me man the mics here. So, that's Craig, right. what are you thinking about when it comes to this?
Yeah, I think it's pretty fascinating. And I imagine in the States as well, you can help people with their security strategy, you know, especially with a lot of people bringing their own devices to work. Can you explain how that works, like in the U.S., like, you know, a head of IT, CIO, right?
Yeah, so it would be very useful for a CIO of sorts to go in and have kind of metrics of everyone in the company and seeing what kind of URLs, what kind of organizations are coming in and, you know, affecting the company. And it would be good to have a kind of a dashboard. And
it just seems like it's so simple to use.
Yeah.
This does not require an advanced degree to set up. Like literally you get it in and like I said, you can start easily. Or if you want to start getting a little tricky with it, you can go into the settings and start tweaking things if you want to, or not, just use what it comes with, and you're instantly going to see, I think, some huge differences as to who you're connecting with and not connecting with. Because you showed me that graph one time, Dave, we got about a minute or so left, that, wow, when you're actually like on a website, you're actually hanging out with thousands of other sites, and they're grabbing your information, which is scary to me. And when you put this stuff on, you see that it comes down to like 35, 40 sites. Yeah. You know, depending upon where you are. And so I just find it very powerful.
It reduces it by a magnitude of 10. And so you're killing all those uninvited parties. You know, one thing that Patrick mentioned, though, about the enterprise solution that's fascinating that we haven't even mentioned here is that our pilot customers are really interested in it in two areas that we didn't expect. One is that when you use RedMorph, you reduce the data usage on your phones up to 70%.
Very good point.
Yeah, right.
And so their backbone has been thinned out and much more efficient. They're lowering their data costs. The other thing is it can be applied to IoT devices and stop espionage through IoT, which is a huge issue these days. So these are two additional benefits.
So RedMorph.com.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
Go out there and try our apps. They're on. You can download them directly there.
Fantastic. Thanks for stopping by. I want you guys back on the show in 6 months so I can hear about everything that's going well in India, man, and in the United States. So
love to.
Appreciate it. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We are coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. I'm hanging out with Craig Waller from The Web Law Firm. What's your website?
Weblaw.com.
Just that simple. It's easy. We're at pghtech.org, and we'll be right back after this quick break. I can't thank you enough for keeping your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio this Friday night. You made a wise choice to hang out with us because I'm hanging out with Craig Waller.
Yeah.
From the Web Law Firm, for crying out loud.
That's right.
Thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
You bet.
Man. Audrey appreciates it too. She's got the laryngitis. Bad thing when you're doing radio, man.
It's not good.
Yeah. For a while, the voice sounded kind of deep, and I was like, whoa, that might work for you.
That might work.
But then it just went completely south. Yeah. And then we're like, nah, we got to call Craig in.
Yep.
We got to call him in.
Happy to play back up.
On a Friday night.
Hey.
You gave it up, man. I love it. I love it. I love it. What I really love is having great healthcare, man. I tell you what, we use Highmark stuff at the council.
Yeah.
I've been with the council for 20 years. That's all I know. And you don't get any better than that. And they're making it better and better. And they're trying to make it more accessible to people. And tonight we're going to be talking about the Doctor Match technology that they're rolling out. And I've got some serious guys with us tonight. We have Ian Cook and we have Hugh Dunn from Highmark. And you guys, say hello to us. What's going on, man?
Yeah. Hello.
Absolutely. So Ian, let's start with you. What do you do?
I am a data scientist with Highmark Health. Been there a little while.
A little while? Like 20 years?
No. Just over about a year.
A year, okay.
Data science is brand new, so it's...
But I love that, because data science, I mean, this is where the magic happens, right? Absolutely. So, Hugh.
Hi, I'm a digital strategist at Highmark, and basically what that means is I look at trends, look at what our users want, and figure out what is the best thing we could offer them next on our websites and our applications.
So the two of you together are like a powerful combination there, Craig.
Yeah.
They could probably tell us things about ourselves we don't even know.
Well, that might be helpful, actually. Can we talk afterwards?
Yeah, we can, but not about PHI.
They were reviewing our accounts before they came in here. So let's get rolling on this thing. What is this Doctor Match thing?
So the Doctor Match tool is basically a quiz, for lack of a better word, that we're having all of our providers in the region take, or as many providers as we can get to take it, and any user can go in and take the quiz as well, and we'll match you based on your answers with the doctor that has similar answers to you. It's kind of like a personality test when you think about it, right?
Because when you have a relationship with your doctor, it's got to be like your friend.
Right.
Like you got to get along with the person.
Yeah,
right?
There's a lot more there than just this hospital or this office is about 5 minutes away from my house so I can get there fast. You need a much more personal connection.
Exactly. And that's what this is going to provide. So it makes people not so afraid to go to the doctor.
Right. And, you know, there's all sorts of statistics that say going to the doctor or people that actually go to the doctor are more healthy than people that don't go to the doctor. Right. Even just going once or twice a year. You're going to end up being a healthier person than someone who, I don't have to go to the doctor, I'm healthy, blah, 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 right?
That lump will go away.
Right, exactly. Statistically, we know that, you know, actually going to your doctor is far more effective and better for your health than not doing it. So, you know, we're trying to come up with ways to get people to do that.
Yeah.
And we figure one of the ways is to make them enjoy the process more. And if they enjoy who they're going to see, then they're not going to be worried about this time I have to go in and have to hear the speech and have to hear the lecture. This time I actually get to go and interact with somebody I know I like and know I get along with.
Case in point, I've been telling you guys too many stories. You're probably saying, Kirsten, quit telling me these stories. But as an example, I had this dentist, had him for 20-something years. Loved going there because A, went all the time, so I never had cavities. We always talked about riding bikes and Frick Park and great stuff. Dr. Danner out there, I'll mention his name, and then he retires, and then it's just like, oh, you got to start over again. Mm-hmm. And you're like, how do you pick a new dentist? How do you pick a new doctor?
Right, so you got to find a list, sort through the whole thing,
so
figure
you try,
out, talk to your friends, who should I go to?
So if on that list it would say, this guy is talkative and likes talking about these things or has this approach or whatever it is. So what are the criteria that you match people up with?
So we've got this quiz that has 32 questions, and of those questions, there are a bunch of different aspects of people's style, so the way they provide care. So this isn't about whether you're a quality doctor, if you've done a certain number of procedures a number of times. This is about how do you like to interact with the people once they're in the office. So we found a quiz through testing and a lot of study and some research that really differentiates people and says certain doctors like this kind of interaction, certain patients might like another type of interaction, and then we find where they agree on those types and match them together.
I like that. So there's probably some other things besides just personality that you might want to put into the system, distance or whatever. What are some other non-personality factors you take into consideration?
Well, all of the doctors that are taking the survey are going to be covered by insurance, obviously, right? We're not going to put any doctors that are going to cost you a ton of money to go see. And like a lot of sort of search things that you've seen before, you can always filter down by, you know, do you want to see a male or female doctor?
Okay.
How far away do you want them to be, right? There's a radius you could sort of put in. So it's really the sort of functional elements of it are really similar to other web searches and things you've seen before. But we're trying to sort of take that and twist it a bit and give it a more human approach by having the sort of quiz tied to that instead of just facts like where did that doctor go to school, what hours.
Oh, he's a Harvard guy. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, it's like
that doesn't mean he can sort of like carry on a conversation, right?
My top criteria would be how many jokes can you crack. Like to keep it fun, you know.
We actually ask questions about sense of humor.
See?
Sense of humor is a big deal. Some people like a very engaged kind of doctor that's going to talk you back and forth. Some people just want to very by the book, just the facts. I want to get in, get out, move on.
You rate doctor jokes on this app, man.
I'm just saying, to me, like when you're in a situation where you're kind of like half naked with needles staring down at you, you want to kind of make sure that like there's a little levity going on. That's all I can say. There's no messing around.
Right.
So how'd you come up with 32 data points? Is that like enough to where it gives you the detail, but not so many questions that someone's going to completely get zonked out on it? Like,
we went through a number of versions of the survey. So we had some that had a lot fewer questions and thought, let's see if we can do this very, very fast. We had some that had a long number of questions and thought, let's hit every point that we can think of. And what we come down to is this is a great mix between taking too much time and making it too short. So if it's too short, you just can't distinguish between people.
You don't get a good match.
You get the same people back. If it's too long, people just, this is taking forever. I got to, you know, they'll roll off and they won't actually complete the quiz. So it's not that 32 is a magic number, but it fit pretty well between, say, two questions and the 150 personality quiz test that can say, all right, now, you know, now we've dealt with your parents. Let's talk about your pet preferences.
Exactly. I like a doctor that likes cats. Just reminding our listeners, we're talking to Ian Cook and Hugh Dunn from Highmark, and we are talking about Dr. Match technology. So where can we find this Dr. Match stuff? I'm a Highmark guy. I need to do this immediately. How do I do it?
Well, it's actually going to go live on Monday.
Okay.
It'll be linking to a bunch of different sites on Highmark's website. So you can actually go on Highmark's website and find it.
Go to Highmark.com, and you're going to find links to it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be in your face.
Our search tools will link you there, and you can actually even call our customer service, and they'll direct you to it as well.
I like it.
Fantastic.
How long did it take to get this thing implemented?
The whole thing has taken a little while. It's a pretty large effort to get this done, doctors online and working with the quiz to get the testing done, to get the whole system up and running, to figure out how it's all going to work, to get the algorithm working correctly. It's taken months.
Yeah, we really started working on this probably March, like formally, right? Yeah. In terms of development, working with, you know, software engineers and doing all the testing and getting all the sort of writing of these questions done. But I mean, this has been a seed that's been in people's heads for a while now, for at least a year. And, you know, like any sort of large organization, it takes a bit of time to make that happen. And we're happy that it's finally coming to fruition.
Yeah, I assume it too, like in terms of iterating on the value of the data you're collecting, could this help doctors actually be more engaging to the broader needs of their patients?
Well, the doctors will be able to see kind of how they're reacting to the quiz and seeing the people that are responding and coming into them and seeing, you know, this is how we found you and this is the type of doctor that we were kind of looking for. So it may help them understand the patient as they come in to say, like, I've got a better sense of how you found me and why, and give them an idea there. But what we want to do is make sure is everybody's responses are confidential so that nobody's information is getting out there. So the doctor won't see, oh, you're the one who responded four on question eight. I know who you are.
I can sharpen this knife or not.
Nurse, bring me the bigger needle.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's important to point out, too, that, you know, most doctors sort of can treat a range of patients, right? Yeah. But what we're trying to do is make it easier both on the patient by matching them with a doctor that is comfortable practicing in a certain way, right? And making it easier on the doctor, right? They have to adapt less to patients that might be a little bit more
absolutely
in tune with how they practice.
What was the doctor's reaction to, you know, when you said, hey, we want you to fill this thing out, we're doing this program, were they all like, yeah, this is a good idea?
Yeah, so we've tested with, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of doctors going into this, right? And, you know, we're at the point now where doctors are, you know, filling out this survey for us and are going to be showing up online starting next week. So they were really excited about it. I mean, you know, any way to engage patients, they're usually really gung-ho about, right? You know, doctors are the same as anyone else. They want, you know, they want to treat their patients right. They want their patients to be healthy. And I think they see value in getting the right patients for hopefully a successful relationship.
And it just helps their day if they know the people who are there are engaged in the same way they are, and they've got people who really want to be there rather than someone who's like, well, this isn't quite the way I want things, or, you know, they take up more time in trying to figure out how to adapt to people. So what we're trying to do is help the doctors work really well with the patients.
Very cool. What other projects will you be working on next when this thing launches? Of course, you'll be tweaking it, but I'm sure, like, you know, when you're like a data scientist at Highmark, there's a lot of data coming out of there.
There is a lot of data, and I do a lot of work on healthcare utilization and predicting outcomes and predicting events. The big one for this project, though, is we're going to start rolling out to new areas. So right now it's going to be starting in Western Pennsylvania, but we want to be in Central Pennsylvania and other states as soon as possible. So this is by no means done once it goes live this coming week. We're still going to have a huge lift to get even more people served.
I want to see some billboards along the parkway.
I think you will.
Telling me Dr. Match.
Maybe a commercial or two.
Yeah, very much so. I think it's fantastic stuff. I'm so glad you guys got to stop by and talk to us about this, because when it comes to the fight for talent and tech companies, you got to have the best benefits. Got great benefits? Match them to the best doctors that meet that person's needs. Magic starts to happen. People are healthier. They live longer. Do good, fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're always trying to innovate on these kinds of things. So it's been a really fun ride.
I love it, man.
Excellent.
I love it. Thanks for stopping by. And what's good, just go to Highmark.com. And from there, there's going to be all sorts of signs pointing you to this. So you can find the doctor that best suits you. I got to take it. I might break your system. That's all I can say. Right. I might break it. Anyhow, I got to wrap the show up. And I got to thank Craig Waller from the Web Law Firm for hanging out with me, Craig. Thanks for putting up with me.
Been good.
And my doctor neuroses.
That's all right.
Yes.
They're not on air, so you're fine.
It's all good, man. It's all good. If people want to go to the Web Law Firm, go to what? Weblaw.com? With two Bs.
Two Bs.
Two Bs is the only place to be, is with two Bs, the Web Law. And, of course, I'm from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Go over to the old Twitter there, pghtech. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, man, Twitter's happened for us these days. It just keeps growing for us. I'm just like, So we got to be checking that out.
Yep.
Just run, everybody. And at the same time, after you do that, have yourself an awesome weekend. And I'll be back next Friday with Audrey.
There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.